This audio message is a production of The Fields Church, located in Mattoon, Illinois. We're a church community that wants to help you follow Jesus Christ, connect to caring people, and passionately serve others. Visit us online at thefieldslive.com.
Good morning, Fields Church. We're glad you're joining us this morning. What a powerful time of worship and getting ready just to set us up to just dive into Scripture today, and very excited about that. Brought a little friend with me today. If that thing starts moving, let me know. It's not supposed to. Pastor Elgin and Christina slipping in service, so I saw you guys. So they're going to sign autographs at the newspaper out in the lobby later. They fly out in a couple of days. What day? Wednesday? So Wednesday they fly out, so awesome. What a surprise and a blessing to have you guys in with us this last Sunday. Before I dive into the teaching, I want to give you guys just a great opportunity. Your journey in Jesus and following him and getting to know him, and that's exactly what you need to be doing. And if you have become a Christian and you're following him and you've started that relationship with him and you've never been baptized in water, I want you to know that opportunity is coming up August 12th. August 12th is a water baptism service. We'll do it right up here in both services. And it's your way to declare what God is doing on the inside in an outside way. You're going to let people see that you're identifying with Jesus as your Savior. You're going to go underwater and come back out of water as a symbol of a new life. There's nothing magical about the water at all. It's all about the expression of the faith of what's happened on the inside. And I'm going to encourage you, through Scripture, it's just taught. And Jesus says to go and to do this. And this being baptized in water is it a critical step for believers, because it is that proclamation. It's proclaiming your faith and declaring it, that you have had an inside change and God has transformed your life. So what an opportunity to sign up if you have not been baptized in water. We literally have a station right out in the lobby right out when you walk out on your left. You can let us know also on the tear-off part of your info card under Next Steps, water baptism, and we'll get in touch with you and help you understand what that looks like and what it looks like for that day. So we would love, love, love for you guys to take that step, get baptized in water, and what a great critical step. So let's dive into the teaching. We're starting this, we're wrapping up. It's a two-part series on battle. And Pastor Evan last week kicked this thing off. We're really studying in Ephesians chapter 6 and the idea of winning the fight that matters most and realizing that there is this battle for our lives and we can't shut our eyes to that. My grandfather on my dad's side was a World War II veteran, and he was shot behind enemy lines. And he was going, and he received intel of where the enemy had been stationed. And on his way back is when he was shot, but he still had the paperwork and the intel. And when he returned home, he received a Purple Heart for his injury, but then a Bronze Star for his courage of going behind enemy lines and getting this. And I didn't know any of those stories. I'd seen some of the medals like hidden in a cabinet of my dad's closet. And in the last couple years, I've been kind of trying to find more information and put together, found some newspaper articles and got all of his, put all of his medals in a display case for my dad. And it was really neat to see that in a display case. But the interesting thing is his entire life, he never talked about what was in the display case. Like, he went to war and saw real battle and was shot at and was shot. And never a holiday party would he talk about that. As you know, never was he ever talking about war. But it was very real. And those were real bullets. And it was a real enemy. And he was right in the middle where there was real casualties. And you have to imagine that he had great buddies that was lost at war. But yet he never talked about it. And just because you don't talk about it, and just because We don't go to the family functions talking about, you know, that era of your life doesn't mean it didn't exist. Even though you don't mention it, doesn't make it less real, because it was real. And I think that's what it's like with this whole idea of spiritual warfare. You know, Evan talked about, you know, the sharks are out there, whether you like it or not, they're out there. And the battle is real. The battle is real, whether we like it or not. And I know some people are like, oh, let's get over with this series. I don't like talking about spiritual warfare. But the reality is we're in a battle and we wrestle against things that are not just natural, but supernatural. And we have to, it does sound like a sci-fi movie. It sounds like a horror movie at times that this battle is raging and it's dark and it's evil. But the reality is Satan is real and he really is out to kill, steal, and destroy your life. And if all we do is ignore it and we don't want to talk about it, then that leads to a lot more destruction in our lives. We need to be prepared for battle instead of ignoring the battle. This last, it was July 4th week. It wasn't a holiday in where I'm going to talk about in Bangkok in Thailand. It was July 6th, but for us, it was a holiday week. And there was Chinese tourists on board two different boats. They were doing a sightseeing tour, and these two boats capsized. And 78 people were rescued, 28 bodies were found dead, and 21 are still missing. And the Thai deputy prime minister said, this is on the captain and the boat owner because they ignored the storm warnings that the weather department, the National Weather Department of Thailand, had issued. They said the responsibility really needs to weigh on the boat owner and the captain because they ignored the storm warnings. And I don't think we want to ignore the storm warnings, that there is an enemy who would love to tear your marriage apart, who would love to come against your physical health. There's an enemy who would love for you to lose your identity and not know who you are in Christ. There's an enemy who would love to just keep beating you down and beating you down and beating you down. And if we ignore that, then we're just putting our head in the sand and then he comes alongside and he gets to do whatever he wants to do. If you weren't here last week, I really encourage you to listen to last week's message. I listened to it online. You can listen to it online as well. I was in Mexico with our team. We'll talk a little bit about that toward the end of service. I'll share some pictures, but Evan did a great job setting us up to understand that this enemy is real and this battle is real. And we can't ignore it. So let's dive in. Paul talks a lot about it in Ephesians chapter 6. You read some of this last week. We'll read the large portion of it, and then I'll dive into some of the details of it. Let's take a look. Paul's writing to this church in Ephesus. They're trying to figure this thing out, following Jesus. They're trying to understand what it means to be a Christian and to follow him. And he starts to tell them, listen, you're in this war. And he uses all this imagery of war. And so he says this, Ephesians chapter 6, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. So that's very battle terminology. Like put on this armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. He goes on to say this, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith in which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Man, there's a lot packed into there, but he is preparing them to be strong and to go into battle. And we don't like to think about life as a battle, and we don't like to think that there's an enemy. There's something deep inside of us that we just want to be liked. We don't want anyone to hate us, and a lot of us don't like confrontation, and we don't want people coming against us and all that. And now to hear that there's an enemy that's coming against us, we would rather not think about that. And then when it's an unseen enemy, and it's in the spiritual realms that Evan talked about last week, the heavenlies, the spiritual realm, then it's even almost easier for us just to close our eyes and ignore it, because we can't physically, tangibly see it. But it's real. And so Paul is telling the church, we gotta be strong in the Lord. So let's pick this apart a little bit. He says, be strong in the Lord, put on the full armor of God, take your stand against the devil's strategies and schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities, against all the powers of this dark world. This whole idea of this armor of God, and we've been able to get one of these armors, and it's like you've got to be suited up from top to bottom. And you really can't give a little bit of area for the enemy. Now, to let you know, this wouldn't be the right era of Jesus's time. I'll show you a couple pictures later what that would look like. So this is a little bit more later. They would have been a little more leather and big shield. But the idea of this armor, of being strong, because it is a battle. He goes, verse 13, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, standing your ground. So let's just start right there. The importance of standing your ground is big, because that is, you've got to be battle ready. And if anyone's been in the military, or if you've ever even played sports, there's a stance you should be in. You know, if you're playing baseball, you know, you get in your stance. If you're playing basketball, you've got your stance. In football, you've got your stance. You got to be ready. And he's saying there's this battle stance. You got to be able to stand strong when the enemy comes, because you need to be protected. And so standing strong, then he starts to talk about what that looks like and how to put on this armor and how to truly stand strong. And that's why he begins with verse 14 about the belt. He says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. So there's elements of this armor that today, the whole idea today is to take this passage, to take these elements, then modernize them for today. So we're like, okay, if this is so important to be in the Bible, how do I apply it to my life? What's this mean for me? And so what's the belt all about? This belt of truth. Why does he make a big deal about standing firm, and how does he tie it to the belt? Well, first of all, belts in our day and age is a little more for fashion. Like today, I wore a white belt. Why? Because I saw someone famous on TV wearing a white belt once. I'm like, my kids hate it. Like, why? Dad, why are you wearing a white belt? I go, I don't know. I saw some guy on TV wearing a white belt. I'm going to wear it. It's reversible. I can totally flip it around and be black belt too, But back in this era, they didn't wear belts for fashion. I mean, some of you ladies, you've got belts that are like this big, and then like the country guys have belt buckles. Have you ever seen that like new commercial? It's like Geico commercial or something. The belt buckle just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Next thing you know, the belt buckle's like the size of a car. Yeah, it's because the belts are a little more for fashion today, but not back then. A Roman soldier would wear this long tunic. So a soldier would have this huge long robe that would go from shoulders all the way down to the ground, and the belt then was used to be able to tighten everything up. Have you ever heard, and in fact it's in this verse, but it's just not in the translation I read, to gird the loins. I always thought that was a weird term, so I didn't use it. But girding the loins is like to get prepared. Like when we passed out football equipment the other day for our little junior football team, and And part of underneath the pads is their girdle, because they're girding their loins. They didn't know that, but they're wearing the girdle of some pads on their hips and their tailbone, and they put on the girdle that's got all these pads in that area, and it just keeps all the pads tight there. Well, this is what a Roman soldier, when they had to wear the belt to be prepared and to stand strong on readiness. Let's take a look at this picture. This is how to gird up your loins, in case you needed to know how to do this. You might need to know how to gird your loins someday. So if you're wearing a long tunic and you were a soldier, what you would do is hoist up the tunic, bring it around back, and then you would tuck it into your belt. You needed the belt so then all of this tunic was not in the way for battle. And literally, the belt was purposeful. It had to keep everything tight together, because in the Roman culture, in this culture, the combat was very hand-to-hand combat. They weren't like 1,000 yards away picking people off with a rifle. This was majority hand-to-hand combat. And if you are in hand-to-hand combat, the last thing you want in the way is your little pretty toga that you're wearing, okay? You need to be able to hike that up, tie it around your waist, the belt, it all tucks into the belt, because they didn't want it to be in the way. And they needed to be ready to move forward in battle. And the belt of truth is you and I needing to be ready to move forward with an understanding of who God is, because it's the belt of truth. And we need to understand how to be ready for what God has for us and understand the reality of God, the reality of the devil, the reality of the spiritual world, and be ready to move forward and not just have some belt on for fashion purposes. Ephesians chapter 4, a couple of verses back, says that the reason you wear this belt of truth is because there's so much deception, and this idea of understanding truth says that because people can be tossed back and forth by the waves and blown from here to there by every wind of teaching, all these worldly philosophies that were taking place, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. People, if you don't have the truth and you're not standing firm in the truth and the belt of truth is keeping you all together, then you will be tossed from wind to wind, wave to wave, by whatever is said at the water cooler, whatever is said on the TV show, whatever you read on this day's, whatever thought of the day, and all of that stuff can toss you left to right. And if you're not grounded in Scripture and tight together by the belt of truth, then you can be swayed by anybody about anything, and you can go the wrong direction really quick. Because it was a good coworker that told me that. It was a neighbor that I really trust. It was a guy wearing a white belt. He was really cool, you know. And speaking of belts are very important. They keep everything together. I'm going to tell you something I didn't tell anybody the last couple days. I wear a belt also for purposeful reasons, like to, you know, keep everything up. Well, guess what happens when you go to the airport? You have to take your belt off. And you got to raise your hands up, and you got to walk through security. And I'm like, hey, walking through security, trying to keep my pants up because they took off my belt. And you got to wear a belt because keep it all. Then he says this. I'll keep moving. That was bad. So he says then to keep the breastplate of righteousness in place. This idea of this covering over the entire torso of your body. Now, on this guy, like, this is pretty serious. Like, this is pretty thick. Now, modern day, it would be kind of like a flak jacket. These things would protect you from, you know, any kind of shrapnel bullet that would protect the vital organs. It would protect your heart, your lungs. It's covering areas of your body that you don't want bullets to go into. And I'm just gonna lay this right here. And the idea here is you have to protect vital organs. And guess who wants to take out your vital organs? The enemy. Vital organs like marriage, vital organs like your relationship with God, vital organs like your prayer life and reading scripture. And Satan loves to attack the vital organs. And the way he attacks it is through temptation and through sinful activity. And that's why it's called the breastplate of righteousness, because you've got to keep the heart pure. And so part of winning the battle is having a pure heart. And by having a pure heart, you have to protect the heart. So the breastplate of righteousness might be protecting your boundaries of what you watch on TV. It might be protecting the relationships that you have, the conversations that you engage in, what you put into your mind and what you look at through your eyes. And it's so important because Satan will attack there. He will attack the heart. He would love to kill your marriage and your health and your identity and your future and your hope. Does it make sense why we'd want to wear a breastplate? You got to protect that. And a lot of us, we go through life and we have no protection of our heart. We'll watch anything. We'll get involved in any conversation. We'll put ourselves in situations that can go south really quick. And we don't protect our heart. And that's why Paul is saying you got to protect the heart. You have to protect the heart. And then he goes, talks about this sure footing. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. He says, part of the armor is what you're wearing on your feet. Modern day, got some military boots. This is all from Rich Fields, who served in the military for over 20 years and gave me some of his stuff today. And military boots with his little dog tag tied on them. And protect your feet. Probably not the ankles part as much as the sure footing. Like where you stand, how you march, how long you have to walk, the terrain that you're going to be having to go through. Now remember the Roman soldier. Roman soldier would have been a very rough path. Battle would have been very rocky. And they didn't have great shoes back then. But the Roman soldiers, they would have had better foot protection. Why? Because they need to be ready for battle. They need to be fitted properly. If you read anything about military and protecting the feet, it's like that can be one of the first things that takes people out of battle is because they have feet issues, whether that's frostbite, whether that's cut, whether it's blisters. You can't walk miles into battle if your feet are covered with blisters. And so you have to take care of that. But the big thing is you have to be able to position yourself and you have to have good footing, because shoes back then, like a belt, had great purpose. Now our shoes, like, just curious, raise your hand if you have more than 3 pairs of shoes. Keep them up nice and tall. Keep them up if you have more than 5 pairs of shoes. If you have 7 pairs of shoes. If you have 10 pairs of shoes. If you have 12 pairs of shoes. 15 pairs of shoes. Do you guys have storage, like outside storage containers or something? 17 pairs of shoes? You guys are crazy. 17 pairs. I have a husband lifting up a wife's hand. This is awesome. Keep it up, honey. We're going to be here a while. He's going by twos. Over 20 pairs of shoes? All right. After service, on the right side of the room, there's a prayer team. They'll be praying for anyone with over 25 pairs of shoes. That is an addictive behavior that's unhealthy. It's poor stewardship. There's a lot of issues, layers. We have counselors that'll help you guys. Are you guys packing 27 pairs of shoes to go to Moldova? That would take up half of your crates. The Roman soldier needed proper fitting of shoes because the purpose was so important. And then they talked about, I love how he says, the fitted feet, the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So this fittedness and the readiness of the shoe comes from the peace of God. And what he's saying is when you take your stance in battle and you're ready to go in and you know you've got proper footing and you're not going to slip and you're not going to get pushed, what that's really saying is this gospel of peace is you are completely at peace at what's in front of you because you know that you're with God and God is surrounding you. We sang it today. There's this peace that I'm going to be able to stand my ground and I'm in the stance of readiness and I have sure footing, not because of my skills and abilities. It's because I have peace that God is with me. And whatever battle comes, I don't have to stand here by myself. The only reason I really can dig down deep in and take on the fight is because I am surrounded by God. And no one's going to push me over. Like, we still have to face the battle, but he is by our side. It's kingdom living. It's when you and I understand the reality of kingdom living, that you and I are sons and daughters of the King, then you have the authority of the kingdom. And you live this life knowing that I have the gospel of peace in my life. I am completely at peace that no matter what happens, God is with me. And that's what Paul's saying here to the guys. And he's using the shoes and the boots as this sure footing and readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. And then he goes on and talks about the shield of faith. We had somebody in our church make this just for today. How stinking awesome is that? So now if you want to throw tomatoes at me, I'm totally ready. Like, bring it. Bring it. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith in which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the enemy. Now, some of the shields in that time were over 3 feet tall, 2.5 feet long. They were wooden, sometimes wrapped in leather, and then they would take the leather and they would soak it in water. So when the flaming arrows of the enemy, because these guys were shooting flaming arrows at one another, and when the flaming arrows of the enemy would hit their shields, especially the ones that were wooden and wrapped in leather and dipped in water, it would help distinguish take out the flames of the arrows. And he says, you have to have this shield of faith because the enemy is always going to be shooting at you. And sometimes from afar, and sometimes it rains down on you. I've got a picture of what it would really look like. This is a shield that would be this wall. This is the way they would line up is they would have a mile long of soldiers like this. And you could have a lot of soldiers behind this line. And they would get behind the shield. And then they would curve the second shield forward. So when the arrows were coming in, they would have a shield and a roof over their head for these flaming arrows flying in toward them. And they would all huddle underneath their shields. This is very typical warfare during the time that Jesus was teaching here. And so we need to understand that when he says, take up the shield of faith, it's something that can fully cover us and protect us. When I was a kid growing up, we had a neighborhood bully in the community, in the neighborhood, and he was not nice to us younger kids, and he was always saying he was going to beat us up, and you know, he'd just threaten us all the time. And there was a time, I'm not kidding you, I lived on the dead end street on 34th Street in Mattoon. Right behind me was a cornfield. We would always play out in the cornfield. And there was a time that he would come by on his four-wheeler and just taunt us and want to, you know, kill us and all this stuff. Anyway, so we were almost literally here. I'll tell you the rest of the story. We were hanging out by the side of my house, me and my friends, just chilling out. And all of a sudden, between me and this suit of armor is one of my trees in my yard. And all of a sudden, an arrow gets stuck in the tree. And this guy from his four-wheeler stops and he shoots an arrow into the tree that we are 5 feet away just to scare us. I grab the arrow and I charge after. No, I grab the arrow and I run inside. I ran, my dad was in the garage working, and I was like, I'm not even going to say his name because he still lives around here. And I was like, shot an arrow at us. And I had the arrow. And this guy had he came back for his arrow, literally came and asked my dad if he could have his arrow back. My dad gave him a couple few choice words and told him to get off the property, not to shoot his arrows at us anymore. And that could have killed us. And to think that there's an enemy, a real enemy, just shooting these spiritual arrows at us, trying to get them into areas where we're not protecting ourselves. And Paul says, you got to have a shield, and it's a shield of faith. And the shield of faith is this, it's really based in this idea of trust. That in the middle of a battle, I'm surrounding myself with trust of God. Because that's what this faith is that he's talking about. Is holding up going, I trust God in this situation. I trust him. I trust that I'm going to make it through this. I trust that I'm going to make it through what the doctor told me is happening in my body, or what the counselor said that I got to deal with inside and in the marriage issues or the kids and raising and parenting and all that difficult stuff in life. And the enemy would love to come at you going, you're a failure and you're horrible and you're not going to be able to do this and this is never going to turn out well. And we got to hold up the shield of faith and trust that as we follow God, God protects us and helps us through anything. And he will protect us from the fiery darts of the enemy. But the only way you and I are going to be fully protected by the fiery darts of the enemy if we fully put our trust in God and not in a bunch of other stuff. Like, it starts there. It starts with having the shield and saying, I put my faith in God during this time. Our faith and our trust is the shield against the enemy. And then he goes on and says, and then take on the helmet of salvation. There's something about a helmet that's pretty amazing. I mean, this thing protects what? It protects your head. In the military, then, a modern day helmet would look like this. Put this little bad boy on. This thing smells. And my goodness, this thing's heavy. These military guys, they're studs. This thing's heavy. But probably because it protects your head. And think about this, is Paul is saying, if there's one thing that is absolutely critically important in this whole thing called following Jesus, is having a relationship with Jesus, and it's the salvation that Jesus offers you. It's one thing to have, try to live a pure life, and it's one thing to, have the right kind of boots on and the belt that keeps it all together. But if we lose our relationship with God, we lose everything. If we don't have salvation, if we are not protecting what matters most, then there's nothing worse than a head injury. That's why in sports it's so critical, like football now, the pads and the helmets, they're so high sciencely divine. I mean, the technology that are in the new football helmets, why? Because of concussions, and they want to protect the head. I mean, it won't be long. Tennis players are going to have to wear helmets. Ping pong players. You take your kids to our summer camp, they wear helmets when they go down the water slide. Why? Because you're going to protect their head. And Paul is saying, you've got to take the helmet of salvation. It's also the renewing of the mind, because the head is so, the mind is so important. And walking with Jesus and having relationship with Jesus and the salvation that comes. We have to take that one with complete seriousness, because head injuries, without a head, you have nothing. Your relationship with Jesus is critical. You can't just live a good life, guys. You can't do it. You can't just try to be a good person. You have to have a real relationship with Jesus, which is the helmet of salvation. And then he gets into the weapon part. He says, now that you're protecting yourselves, then you can have the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. This is like a really cool old, I don't know what this is. I have no idea where it comes from, but the thing is sharp. Can you imagine? He's saying you're suited up. You're protected head to toe. You've got the shoes on and you've got your armor on and breastplate on and your helmet on and your belt and you've girded your loins and you're ready to go. It's like, so then you have the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit is trusting and knowing that the word of God is the weapon that goes against the enemy because it's absolute 100% truth. And the more familiar you are with your weapon, if anyone ever hunts, or if you are been in the military, or you've taken a concealed and carry class, anything like that, you know the importance of the safety and the gun and understanding it, how to take it apart, how to clean it. The more you understand your weapon, the better you are at using it. And Paul is saying, take the sword of the Spirit, and the more you understand the word of God, the better you are at using it, the better you are at protecting yourself, coming against the enemy. Being familiar with your Bible helps you be more equipped at using it all throughout your life and all throughout the day. The Bible is not just it's not a nighttime, I'm going to read this before I go to bed. It makes me feel good. It puts me to sleep. It's not I got to read it first thing in the morning just to check it off. It's like cereal, brush teeth, read Bible, go to work. No. God's word is his truth for you and I to live in. And when you and I pick up the sword of the Spirit, then we can become an offensive soldier. We're on the offense now. We're not just on the defense. Now we can do some damage. Now we can go after the enemy. Now we can take care of the attacker against our own lives and against our family. When you understand the word of God, it's going to do a couple things. You'll be able to, one, expose the deeds of darkness. You're going to be able to see what is right, what is wrong, what is sin, what is okay. We've got to know that. If all we're doing is allowing culture to define what is the deeds of evil and darkness, culture is always going to become more evil-minded. Culture is always going to be more open to sinful activity. It's God's word that helps us expose what is right and what is wrong. The second thing God's word is going to do, it's going to refute worldly philosophies. That's all those crazy hair ideas out there of how you can fix things, how you can live life, how you can do relationships, what feels good, what seems okay. Hey, it's 2018. It's okay to live this way now. And when we step into that trap of, hey, it's 2018, it's okay to live this way, and we are not diving in to the sword of the Spirit, to the word of God, then we cannot refute worldly philosophies. We don't know if that is the right way of handling it because God's word is the standard of truth, not what's on TV. And then the third thing that we can do when we pick up the sword is that we can preach the gospel of salvation. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God will bring revelation into men and women's life, boys and girls, teenagers' lives of who Jesus is. And Jesus is the only answer to their eternity problem and their sin problem and their hopelessness problem. And so we can share, preach, tell the story of Jesus through Scripture. And it's the greatest way that you can do damage to the kingdom of darkness is telling stories of the kingdom of God. The greatest thing we can do is let it be known the incredible stories of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and who Jesus is and his miracles and his healing and all of these things. The good news of Jesus is the solution. It's a weapon that you want to have at your side all the time. And in fact, spiritually speaking, not only do you have it at your side, you put it in your heart. Because when you put it in your heart, then you're ready to use it at a moment's notice. Like you know how to use it. Do you believe that it's a good weapon? If you do, then we've got to be able to put it in our life. God's not sending us out alone. That's the concept of this whole idea of battle is we are going into battle, but guess what? We don't have to do this alone. He closes that his whole time on the armor of God, and he says, and pray, and pray, and pray. So you have the word of God, and you're praying, and you're going on the offense, and you're helping take ground against the enemy for the kingdom of God. Our purpose is to help people find and follow Jesus. We want to populate heaven. We want them to be fully devoted followers of Jesus. That's going to be us protecting ourselves and then going out and sharing the gospel and telling people the great stories of Jesus. It's going to be a battle. And whether you like it or not, we're in it. We're in it. The fact that you're here today, you're in a battle because Satan does not want you here. He hated that you woke up this morning and drove here today. So we're in this battle. So what do we do? How can we really, really make this applicable and just make this a little easier is when he ends and says, and then just pray always. I really believe that every day you guys could pray on the armor of God. The belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, the proper footwear, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. You can pray this. And this is what it would look like. You could simply say, you wake up and say, Lord, I am ready for life. And I need to purify my heart. God, purify my heart. And you pray for a season of time of just praying for purity and repenting from sin. And you're ready and you're taking that stance. And then you're saying, God, you are with me. I am not alone. I am not alone. The gospel of peace is with me, and I do not have to face this by myself. That I trust God in all situations. The shield of faith is with me. I put all my faith in God. My relationship with you, Jesus, matters most. And you put on the helmet of salvation and it matters most. And then you talk and you pray over God's word and the Bible and say, this is going to be a critically important part of my life. And read through Ephesians chapter 6 and just pray through that and pray through the armor and realize what a great way to prepare your day. Is that all of these tangible things, whether it's boots and shields and flak jackets and helmets and swords and armor, it's all a visual reminder of how God wants to protect you and help you. And so what an awesome thing to do is go home and open up Ephesians 6 and go, this is going to be something I'm going to start reading and praying out of because I want to be prepared for my day. I'm going to pray for you guys. Jesus, help us, Lord, to not walk alone into tomorrow and going into work. Help us, Lord, to be prepared, spiritually prepared to go into battle and to win this thing. I pray against the enemy who wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And I pray, Lord Jesus, you'd protect us and empower us and help us to have a sure footing and to be battle ready. Help us, God, to be who you want us to be. If there's anyone in the room today that is realizing in the midst of all of this that they've never put on the helmet of salvation, they've never called on you to be their Lord, they've never invited you into their life to have a real relationship with you, then right now, God, just help them to just whisper, yes, Lord. And they surrender their life over to you and they begin to follow you in every area of their life. If anyone today needs that, Jesus, just speak to their heart right now because it's real. I pray for all of us to be battle ready, heading into work, heading into parenting, heading into our lives. Help us that your word would come alive. And thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.